from the Gospel of Luke chapter 6. Jesus said, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Today, we end a three-week sermon series on our new vision statement, which is, we are a welcoming family of Christ followers, living lives of generosity as we seek to be a blessing to others. The first week, I spoke to you about what vision is and why it's necessary. We introduced you to this new vision and how it came about. And then I wanted to explore the core components of the statement. And the first core component is, we are a welcoming family, which I will address in my pastor's creel in the newsletter that's getting ready to come out. So please pick that up and check that out. But last week I spoke to you about the second core component and explained what it means to be a Christ follower. And this morning I would like to address the third core component, living lives of generosity. A few years ago, many regions of our country and neighboring nations were decimated by natural disasters. On August 25, 2017, Hurricane Harvey plowed into Port Arthur, Texas, causing storm surges that displaced over 30,000 people and required over 17,000 rescues. And the images that were displayed across social media networks were shocking, prompting hundreds of thousands of people to action, including the churches that I served. Now, due to age and distance, we felt a bit helpless to do anything. You know, what could we do? But we determined that the one thing we could do was to take up an offering and get that money to people who could use it. And so we determined that when there was a natural disaster, we would take up a love offering, and we immediately sent out a prayer chain asking people to come prepared on Sunday to give this love offering, which ended up totaling about $1,500. Not a bad gift. It was a very generous gift for two small rural churches. 15 days later, on September 10th, Hurricane Irma hit the Caribbean islands and Naples, Florida, causing a lot of destruction. And once again, we took up another generous offering. 10 days after that, an earthquake devastated Mexico. And 4 days later, on December 24th, 2017, Hurricane Maria flattened Puerto Rico. The two small churches, although overwhelmed and feeling the financial strain, generously gave. And in the following months, in the year that followed, more disasters were coming out. A fire here, a tsunami here, mudslide here, flooding here. And although the two small churches had good intentions, over time the offerings narrowed out and stopped being taken. And it wasn't that they stopped caring. It wasn't that they ran out of money. But as you know, for whatever reasons, they just end. The Apostle Paul saw the same thing happening in the church of Corinth. Corinth was one of the largest and most important cities of Greece in the year 400 BC. A few hundred years later, the Romans destroyed it, but they rebuilt it in 44 BC. And once again, it was had influence and money. And likewise, now, so did the Christian church in Corinth. And they had money, they had influence, and they were generous. About 100 years later, in 50 AD, a severe famine struck the areas around Jerusalem, 800 miles away. And other Christian churches were taking up love offerings to send to care for the needs of the poor. Now, just north of Corinth was a small community church in Macedonia. These church members were poor. They didn't have much, but out of the little they had, they scraped together a generous offering and sent it to relieve those worse off than themselves. Amazed, the Corinthian church was inspired to organize a relief campaign of their own. But somehow, for whatever reasons, the good intentions didn't translate into action. And when Paul hears about this, he writes to them, reminding them of their pledge and encouraging them to follow through. And Paul wasn't above using guilt to motivate. He says, "Hey, I've been bragging you guys up here. For a whole year, I've been telling everyone about your generosity and your eagerness to help. And hearing about this, hearing about you guys," he said, "has encouraged others to get involved. So don't let me down here. Don't make a liar out of me." Paul reminds them of some of their core values as well. You know, why does this church exist here in Corinth? Well, it exists to glorify God, right? And to help make disciples, Christ followers. And we do that by loving God and one another as Christ loves us. And by giving generously so that others can be blessed. He then gives them encouragement wrapped in a warning. He says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will reap generously." Now, Paul was concerned about the Corinthians keeping their pledge of sending their support to the Jerusalem church. But this was about more than just keeping a promise. Paul wanted to see their hearts change. He wanted them to give out of a heart of love. He wanted them to experience the joy that comes in blessing others. He doesn't just want to see a change in their giving habits, but he wants to see a change in their attitudes of giving, which is a heart issue. Again, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Now, Paul is using a farming metaphor here. And so for us to properly see this, I'd like us to look at this through the eyes of a farmer. When planting, it doesn't make sense to try to save on the seeds when each seed can produce 30 to 100 times itself. You will not see a farmer eating the seed that he should be planting. In order to have an abundant harvest, you have to plant many seeds. Thus, Paul says, whoever sows generously, well, you will reap generously. Now, the NRSV and the King James translations translate generously as bountifully, meaning large quantity or abundance. So whoever sows in a large quantity of seeds, they're going to reap a large and abundance of seeds. However, the Greek word for this here is evlugia, meaning blessing. So whoever sows and gives enough to be a blessing will receive a blessing. Solomon says it like this in Proverbs 11, 25 and 26. "A generous person will prosper. He who refreshes or waters others will themselves be refreshed or watered." But he goes on, he says, "But cursed is the person who hoards his grain." The world tells us that we should hold on tightly to the things that we come to possess. But God blesses those who freely give from what has been given to them. We must remember that what we have is not really ours, folks. It's God's. He just allows us to play with it. This can be difficult for us to understand that the things we have only been entrusted to us by God. We are the stewards. We are to be the caretakers of these things. In Luke 6:38, Jesus said, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, this will be put into your lap. For the measure with which you give will be the measure with which you get back. Jesus said this while teaching about loving our enemies, about forgiveness, and about judging others. And he's saying that if we are critical instead of compassionate, then we will be criticized. But if we treat others compassionately, lovingly, and generously, then these things will be given to us in return. Hopefully, you're getting the idea that through just a few of these scriptures, that it's clear that a Christ follower is to live as generously as possible. But it's not enough for us to live generously. We need to do it cheerfully. Verse 7 says, each person should give what they have decided in their heart to give. Again, there's that heart thing. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We are to give based on what in our hearts we are called to give. It's something that we work out with the Holy Spirit. It's not something that a group or the church decides we should give, but what our love for God compels us to give. Nor should we give out of a sense of reluctance or bitterness or guilt or legalism, simply because it says this. No, for if we give generously, but not joyfully, then we've failed. And if we give joyfully, but not generously, we've also failed. God wants us to find that happy medium, and he wants us to do this cheerfully. Further, there are blessings in giving this way. Throughout Scripture, we're told that God blesses those who give. Verse 8 tells us, God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. We are loved by a God who wants and will give us everything we need. Verses 10 and 11. He who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way. And why? So that you can be generous on every occasion. And your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You see, God doesn't bless us so that we can bask in luxury. No, God generously blesses us so with more than what we need, so that we can generously bless others. Blessed to be a blessing, which is our bumper sticker. It's our tagline for our vision statement. If you can't remember the vision statement, just remember this, that we are blessed to be a blessing. And God will use our generosity for his glory and his kingdom. Because of our generosity, the saints will be provided for. Verse 12, this service that you perform supplies the needs of God's people. But not only do the oppressed and the marginalized find justice, not only are the poor and the widows taken care of, not only does the church grow and the gospel be spread, but it also results in many expressions of thanksgiving to God. You see, there are hundreds of thousands of people out there right now praying, asking God for a blessing. Because outside of a miracle, they don't know how they're going to buy their medicine. They don't know how they're going to get by. They don't know how. They just don't have the strength to do it on their own to even go on. And so they're praying, asking God to show them good in this world. They're asking God to give them hope. Friends, there are a lot of people out there praying for a miracle. And it's been my experience that God very, very rarely, if ever, just makes miracles appear out of thin air. No, almost exclusively, God uses other people. He uses us. People he has blessed with more than they need to be his hands and feet and to meet the needs of those around us. Even when God provided, fed the 5,000, the food didn't just appear out of anywhere, but it came from a small boy who offered what he had. And God took what he had and he multiplied it. You see, when you generously give of your money, and this isn't just about money here today. We're talking about just generosity. Give of your money, your time, your gifts, and your talents. you may be the answer to somebody's prayer. And they will thank and glorify God because He gave them the gift of you. And when we generously give, it draws us closer to one another. Verse 14, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you. They will be drawn to you because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. Grace being what we're being given what we don't deserve. God gives us more than what we need and what we deserve. And because if we use that and are generous to other people, people are drawn in their hearts to us, not just for what we can give them, but because we care. Despite being an act that benefits the well-being of others, by giving generously, it increases our well-being as well. And that's why Paul records in the book of Acts, Jesus saying, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. However, in order to live lives of generosity, we must have faith and trust that God will provide for our needs. Trust, you know, and that's why Paul reminds us that God will enrich us in every way for our great generosity. The question we must ask ourselves this morning is, do we trust the Lord? Do we believe His promise to provide for our every need? You know, often we approach giving from a sense of poverty, from a sense of need, that we give from the little that we have left over, rather than giving from the abundance and the plenty that God has blessed us with. And that's where faith comes in. Going back to our farmer metaphor, even though it's tempting to hang on to the seed, in faith we must plant it, trusting God will meet our needs and sustain us until the next crop comes in. And God will not only give us everything we need, but more, so that we can generously give to others. Blessed to be a blessing. Now, you've heard it said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. But when it comes to generosity, God invites us to do just that, to test Him. Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. See if I will not throw open the storehouses and the floodgates and pour out so much blessing on you that you won't have enough room for it. He says, test me. See if I won't do this. And friends, we can live in this generous way. We can do it because it's in our DNA. All right? We were created in the image of God. Now, does that mean we physically look like God? I don't know that, because Scripture doesn't give us any physical descriptions of God, or for Jesus for that matter. But we have been given numerous, numerous characteristics of God, what God looks like in His character, and we have been made in this image. To be created in the image of God is to be patient like God, kind like God, faithful like God, helpful like God, merciful like God, forgiving like God, loving like God, and generous like God. And why does God bless us in such ways? Because that's who God is. It's just who God is. And when we truly understand what it means to be created in the image of God and become Christ's followers, being generous changes from this is something that we do to this is who we are. This is who we are. Right now, we in this church are fairly generous people, and we thank God for that and the overflow of blessings that He is raining down upon us. But our vision is that each and every person here at First UMC Muncie will live lives of generosity, not because it's something we do here, but because this is who we are. A welcoming family of Christ followers, living lives of generosity through our giving of our money. But not, that's just a small part of that, folks. I can't emphasize that more. But also through our time, giving generously of our time, giving generously of the gifts and talents that God has blessed you with, giving generously of our presence, not only in church, but in our community, and giving generously of our witness, telling others about what God has done for us. And not for our own benefit, but so that we can be a blessing to others. And that God may be praised and glorified. Amen. My friends, choose this day whom you will serve. Amen.